Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's Judicial Nominations conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, you will have the opportunity to ask questions during a Q&A session. Please note today's call is being recorded, and I will be standing by should you need any assistance. It is now my pleasure to turn the conference over to Christine Lucius. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us today. My name is Christine Lucius, and I serve as the Executive Vice President of Policy at the Leadership Conference on Civil and Human Rights. We're the nation's leading civil and human rights coalition of more than 200 national organizations working to build an America as good as its ideals. On today's call, we're honored to be joined by Derek Johnson, President and CEO of the NAACP, Madeline Fireman, National Council of Jewish Women, Louisiana State Policy Advocacy Co-Chair, Oren Adar, parent and Lambda legal client who faced Kyle Duncan in court, and Caroline Lawiye, an Iraq war veteran and Louisiana native who was expelled from the military in 2014 for being transgender. President Trump's judicial nominees have been a frightening parade of ideologues, and today we are highlighting just two of the worst, Wendy Vitter and Stuart Duncan. During her confirmation hearing last week, Ms. Vitter was unwilling to acknowledge that the Supreme Court correctly decided Brown v. Board of Education, a decision long cemented in our country's civil rights canon. It's shocking that in the year 2018, Ms. Vitter refused to say whether the Supreme Court, a unanimous Supreme Court, did the right thing when it struck down segregation and legalized apartheid in America's schools. Ms. Vitter's hearing was also notable for her misrepresentations about her own record on women's health. At a 2013 panel discussion, Ms. Vitter expressed support for a brochure called, quote, "The Pill Kills," end quote. The brochure contained junk science claims such as taking birth control pills leads to higher rates of violent death. And at this 2013 panel, she urged people to take this brochure to their doctors and ask them to put it in their waiting rooms. But at her hearing, Ms. Vitter testified that she merely had encouraged the audience to show the brochure to their doctors and get advice about it. That is a blatant falsehood of what was caught on video. Ms. Vitter has taken other inflammatory and irresponsible positions on women's health, such as supporting the debunked claim that abortions cause breast cancer and declaring at a 2013 rally that Planned Parenthood, quote, kills over 150,000 females a year, end quote. The Senate must confirm honest and fair-minded nominees to serve in the federal judiciary, not people like Ms. Vitter. She is unfit to serve. Stuart Duncan is another nominee from the far-right fringe. He has led the right-wing movement to diminish LGBTQ rights, especially the rights of transgender children and the right to marriage equality. He has worked to undermine DACA and remove protections for Dreamers, and he has defended the monster voter suppression law in North Carolina, which a federal appeals court struck down and called, quote, the most restrictive voting law North Carolina has seen since the era of Jim Crow. Our communities deserve to have their cases heard by judges who put the facts and the law first, not by ideologues fighting a culture war and carrying water for this president. These are lifetime appointments who will serve long after the Trump administration is a distant memory. At the Leadership Conference, we're joining forces with our partners on the call today and our coalition of more than 200 organizations to defend our courts and our democracy. Together, we're urging the Senate to reject Trump's extreme right-wing nominees like Vitter and Duncan. Thank you so much for your time, and now I'll turn it over to Derek Johnson, President and CEO of the NAACP.
Thank you. With this statement just made by LCCR, we absolutely agree. But I want to go further and just talk about Kyle Duncan, who we believe is dangerous. He has demonstrated an unparalleled ferociousness in fighting civil rights in all shapes and in all forms. Not only does he take aggressively adverse positions in civil rights litigation, but he searches for opportunities to undermine civil rights laws as they currently exist. If there's an opportunity to roll back civil rights, Duncan shows up. He has tried to reverse civil rights across issues and across the South, in voting rights, in criminal justice, immigrants' rights, rights for LGBTQ community, and women's health. Duncan's records on voting rights could not be more threatening to voters of African Americans, Latinos, and other communities of color. He fought to keep it, uh, he, he fought to keep intact the most restrictive voting suppression laws in the country, laws that federal courts have ruled intentionally targeted African Americans with surgical precision. The Fifth Circuit Court is very important to the NAACP, particularly for me, a resident of Mississippi, which lies in the Fifth Circuit along with Louisiana and Texas, which has the highest percentage of persons of color of any federal circuit. We have fought for decades to ensure that nominees to this court are diverse, fair, independent, and committed to the progress of our nation, has made to civil rights. Cal Duncan's nomination is an affront to the Fifth Circuit, whose judges were once famously known as unlikely heroes because their commitment to enforcing Brown versus Board of Education. Now we have Trump's judicial pick even questioning the Brown decision. In a stunning moment before the Senate Judiciary Committee last week, Louisiana District Court nominee Wendy Vitter refused to say whether Brown versus Board of Education was correctly decided. This is absolutely disqualifying. Period. There are no other questions about this. Our country requires our judges to respect the rule of law, especially seminal Supreme Court decisions of all time striking down segregation. The NAACP joins countless others in calling for her nomination to be withdrawn. This administration's nominees have been shocking, to say the least. These two individuals stand head and toe of some of the most worst judicial picks we have seen, perhaps, in the history of the federal court. Thank you for this opportunity to join this call.
Thank you, Derek. Now we'll hear from Madeline Fireman, National Council of Jewish Women, Louisiana State Policy Advocacy Co-Chair.
Thank you. Justice shall we pursue from Deuteronomy is a clarion call to action that has resonated with the Jewish people for centuries and is the guiding imperative of the National Council of Jewish Women. NCJW has worked to improve the quality of life for all women, children, and families, and to safeguard individual rights and freedoms. One of the most important issues for improving the quality of life of people in the United States is a fair, independent, and diverse judiciary. Kyle Duncan and Wendy Vitter couldn't be further from this tenet. As we heard, the full Senate will soon vote on the nomination of Kyle Duncan to fill a vacancy on the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. NCJW expresses its strong opposition to the nomination of S. Kyle Duncan. Duncan played a lead role in opposing the provision of the Affordable Care Act requiring employers to provide insurance coverage for contraceptives and against contraceptive coverage in Burwell v. Hobby Lobby. Duncan also supported targeted regulation of abortion providers, or TRAP laws, in Whole Women's Health v. Hellerstedt, and wrote that marriage equality would cause severe damage to democracy. Duncan also represented the state of Louisiana in legal challenges to unconstitutional restrictions on abortion access. When Senator Kennedy posed a hypothetical question at Duncan's committee hearing about respecting precedent, Duncan dodged it and suggested he would do his own research in order to find an excuse not to adhere to applicable precedent that he presumably believes to be wrong or unsound. Like Duncan, Wendy Vitter has a long record of extreme hostility to reproductive freedom, including opposing women's access to contraception and abortion care. Vitter moderated a panel called Abortion Hurts Women's Health at the Louisiana Right to Life Annual Conference in 2013. During the hour-long panel, Vitter made numerous inflammatory and factually incorrect statements, including a discussion about the false connection between cancer and abortion, infertility and abortion, and the role that Planned Parenthood plays in the health of women in the United States. Vitter also attended the 2015 March for Life with her husband, then-Senator David Vitter. Much of this record was omitted in her response to the Senate Judiciary Committee's questionnaire for judicial nominees, calling into question whether she has the integrity needed to hold a lifetime judgeship in the Eastern District of Louisiana. NCJW urges Senators Kennedy and Cassidy to withdraw Wendy Vitter's nomination. Her Senate Judiciary hearing last week only further solidified our opposition to her. As Lucius and Mr. Johnson both stated during her hearing, Vitter refused to say whether she agreed with the results of the landmark U.S. Supreme Court case, Brown v. Board of Education. Further, she unsuccessfully tried to walk back several controversial comments she made about abortion and birth control. The National Council of Jewish Women strongly opposes the nomination of Wendy Vitter and Kyle Duncan and strongly urges Senators Kennedy and Cassidy to follow suit. Rather, they should support nominees who are fair-minded constitutionalists, who respect equality and justice for all, and who understand the impact of the law on all Americans. Thank you.
Thank you, Madeline. Now we'll hear from Oren Adar, parent and Lambda Legal client, who has faced Kyle Duncan in court.
Thank you. Like many couples, after being together for a number of years, my partner and I decided to start a family. We moved forward and adopted our son, who was born in the state of Louisiana, and obtained an adoption decree in the state of New York. After the adoption proceedings, it became readily apparent that we needed to amend our son's birth certificate. He was experiencing some health issues, and he was born prematurely, and we needed his birth certificate to list as his parents in order for him to be put onto our health insurance plan. We contacted the Louisiana State Registrar and sent them a copy of our adoption decree and asked them to amend the birth certificate to list us as his parents. They responded by stating that they would put only one of us on the certificate, and then later on said at that point they would not update it at all for us. When we objected, the Louisiana Registrar contacted the Louisiana Attorney General's office about the issue, and Kyle Duncan entered the case. Once Mr. Duncan got involved, it quickly became apparent this was not simply a lawyer defending a client, but rather that this was an ideologue who was committed to denying legal recognition to same-sex couples. May I add that my partner and I were legally married in the state of Connecticut at this time. Rather than process a simple amendment that would have enabled us to take the best care possible of our child, Mr. Duncan commandeered tens of thousands of taxpayer dollars, by the way, in the same year as Hurricane Katrina, into a campaign to deny the legal recognition of our family. We challenged the denial in federal court, where we were granted relief by a district judge. Rather than letting this go and allowing us to go on with our lives, Mr. Duncan appealed our case to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, where we won again. Even then, Mr. Duncan refused to relent and appealed again, this time to a full panel of the Fifth Circuit, where he finally succeeded in his quest to deny our child an accurate birth certificate. We tried, but were unable to persuade the U.S. Supreme Court to take our case. Kyle Duncan has succeeded in his quest to erase our family from this incredibly important legal document in our child's life, and there was nothing left for us to do about it. The practical impact on our family was significant. Registering for school and renewing our health insurance each year became a stressful and complicated situation. Likewise, traveling was often harrowing. On one occasion, while going through security at an airport, a TSA agent demanded a birth certificate for our son. Luckily, as we traveled through that airport quite often, another TSA agent actually recognized us and explained that we were the parents of the child. When we needed a passport for our son for some international travel, we had to send the original adoption decree, which is a sealed document and not meant to be shared for this purpose. And we live with the fear that our child's inaccurate birth certificate could harm him in other ways. For example, we worry that if one of us were to die, our child's ability to access Social Security survivor benefits might be called into question because Kyle Duncan ensured that his birth certificate failed to reflect that he has two legal parents. The emotional aspect was equally devastating. It felt like a judgment had been passed upon us. One of the things that affected us the most was the basic unfairness of being denied something so common yet important. We did everything a person is supposed to do. We pay our taxes, we obtained a valid adoption decree, and complied with every requirement set forth. But in the end, our family didn't fit with Mr. Duncan's worldview. He was determined to use his position to render our family as second-class citizens. In 2015, we held our breath as Mr. Duncan again stood before the Fifth Circuit using the same offensive arguments to defend Louisiana's marriage laws that discriminated against same-sex couples. Fortunately, before the court had a chance to rule, the United States Supreme Court issued a landmark ruling in Obergefell v. Hodges, holding the fundamental right to marry is guaranteed to same-sex couples under the U.S. Constitution. We called the Louisiana registrar, who surprised us by letting us know that they had been waiting for our call. They said that our amendment would be the first birth certificate they had issued after Obergefell. All we had to do was send a check, and that's all it should have ever taken. We never gave up on trying to secure for our child all the legal protection to which he should have been entitled. But Kyle Duncan did everything in his power to make this quest more costly in time, money, and energy than it ever should have been. There's nothing wrong with ideologically fueled activism. That kind of passion is invigorating in a democracy. This degree of ideological fervor, however, is not appropriate on the federal bench. Mr. Duncan's record, of which our story is only part, makes plain that he cannot be trusted to fairly administer justice to LGBT litigants, and therefore should not be confirmed to a lifetime appointment on the Fifth Circuit of Appeals. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Oren. That was really powerful to hear. Finally, we'll hear from Caroline Lawie, Iraq war veteran and Louisiana native who was expelled from the military in 2014 for being transgender.
Hi, my name is Caroline Lawie, and I'm a combat veteran of the Louisiana Army National Guard with 18 years of service. I'm the parent of four. I live in New Orleans and work as a field service engineer for the largest healthcare facility in Louisiana, servicing x-ray machines and medical imaging equipment. I am also a transgender woman. My desire to join the military started when I was young, listening to my dad tell me stories of his time serving with the Fleet Marines as a Navy corpsman. He told me stories of how, even though he was the smallest man in the unit, his brothers and his country had his back. My mom's service as a hospital corpsman also showed me that her devotion to her patients as well as her country. It's no surprise that I wanted to serve as well. I was active duty in West Germany and Fort Sill before being honorably discharged and moving to and transferring to the Louisiana National Guard. By the year 2000, I was serving as a Black Hawk helicopter crew chief, flight engineer, and door gunner. I was eventually deployed to Iraq from 2003 to 2005, where I was awarded the Air Medal, Combat Action Badge, and the Louisiana War Cross, among other honors. Shortly after my unit returned from Iraq, we were called into extended action for Hurricanes Katrina and Rita, flying rescue missions for civilians on the ground. In 2008, I was selected by the Louisiana National Guard and the U.S. Army to become a warrant officer in the Signal Corps, becoming the communications subject matter expert for Louisiana National Guard's 256th Infantry Brigade in Lafayette. By 2013, the Louisiana National Guard was processing me for medical discharge related to my post-traumatic stress disorder. The Guard accessed my therapist's records from the VA, and some of those records describe my struggle with gender dysphoria. In 2014, before the Obama administration allowed transgender recruits and service, the Louisiana National Guard put me on trial as a sexual deviant for being transgender, found me guilty, and then kicked me out. After 18 years. As a citizen soldier in the Louisiana National Guard, I've shown myself quite capable in the civilian sector. The company I was with before I transitioned is still my employer and has been for 12 years now. My boss has remarked how much better and more effective I am now than I was before my transition. We have had trans people serving openly for over 2 years now, and just last week, Army Chief of Staff General Mark Miley said he had received precisely zero reports of issues of cohesion, discipline, morale, and all those sorts of things. Army Secretary Mark Esper said, "We continue to treat every soldier, transgender and not, with dignity and respect, and ensure that they are well-trained, well-equipped for whatever future fights. I'm concerned of Kyle Duncan's record of defending anti-transgender policies, he will not honor the service and sacrifice of these heroes. Transgender people have shown themselves more than capable to serve openly in the military. Thousands of transgender recruits like myself have served with honor and distinction. Discrimination based on fear is never okay, and we need a judge who will apply the law fairly to all. His appointment could threaten transgender veterans with continuation of the hurtful policies and divisive practices in place during my time in service. Kyle Duncan's actions in the case of transgender student Gavin Grimm alone should alarm everybody as to the discrimination this man is capable of. To call us delusional as he did is irresponsible and foolish. For this reason alone, he should be disqualified from consideration to be a district judge. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Caroline. I believe you're not able to stay on for questions, but the rest of the speakers on the call are able to, so now we'll open it up for questions. Operator, Elise, can you please provide instructions?
Certainly. At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star then one on your touch-tone phone. You may withdraw yourself from the question queue at any time by pressing the pound key. Once again, star then one if you'd like to ask a question. If you have yourself on mute or speakerphone, please take that off for our system to better recognize your signal. Again, star then one if you have a question. I'll pause just a moment to allow questions to queue. Again, if you do have a question, please press star then one on your touch-tone phone. If you have yourself on mute or speakerphone, please take that off for our system to better recognize your signal. I'll pause just another moment. And we do have a question. We'll go to Nick Balazzi with PJ Media News. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much. My main question is for the head of the NAACP. I'm wondering what efforts the NAACP and other civil rights organizations are taking up to stop the nomination of Wendy Vitter. And of her record, looking at her record, what would be your number one point of opposition to her nomination? When you look specifically at her record, what area you think is the most problematic? Thank you.
Thank you very much for the question. You know, she was on our radar screen initially. I think more than anything, it was shocking for us to witness her testimony last week and her inability to say that the Brown decision was correctly decided. That overwhelmingly overshadowed any past action. It gives us a clear indication of her frame of reference as it relates to discrimination in this country and her respect for well-settled Supreme Court decisions. Now, the actions that we're taking is, along with many of our partners on the phone, is advocating very heartily through our membership base to communicate with their senators to ask that her Vitter's nomination be withdrawn immediately and to oppose at all costs the appointment of Duncan to the court.
Thank you. It appears we have no additional questions at this time.
Thank you so much, Elise, and thank you all for joining us today. We'll be posting audio from today's call later. If you have any questions, please reach out to us. We can be reached at press@civilrights.org. And thank you so much to my fellow speakers on the call today.